Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, we've got an amazing swap cast. Tonight, we have Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop from Grimerica. Before bringing them on, I want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.tv. We're also always available on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. That's where you get all our premium content. You can get Forbidden Knowledge News Con. We had this year. You get last year's Forbidden Knowledge News Con. You're going to get all our regular shows and the premium content from all the amazing content creators on Rockfin, including the guys from Grimerica. Just click the link in the description or visit rockfin.com/FKN+ to sign up today. Also, protect yourself from harmful EMF radiation with EMF Harmonized. They offer protection from harmful electromagnetic frequencies for your phone, computer, or tablet, and your routers. I have one on my computer and cell phone. It's a little disc, goes directly on your devices, and I've noticed a major difference. I'm not feeling as groggy. I sleep better at night, and I have more energy during the day, especially even after spending hours in front of my computer or near my phone. The products were created by a mechanical engineer with 3 decades of experience in EMFs and telecommunication. Just use the link below. Check out EMF Harmonize and see what they have to offer. Tonight, I want to welcome Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop from the Grimerica Show. If you aren't familiar, it's an amazing podcast. Guys, you guys cover the same things that mostly we cover here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Chris. Thanks for having us on, buddy. And we love your work, and it's great to chat with you.
Definitely. Well, let's start. How long have you guys been doing the show, and what got you interested in these topics that you cover?
That's a pretty big question, but eight years now, coming up on 8 years, and we just started a new feed, Grimerica Outlawed, which is kind of a little more controversial. It's a plus feed as well, and we're also got some exclusive content on Rockfin too. So it's been 8 years for the regular show and a few months for the Outlawed. And Darren was into the ancient mysteries, like the ancient aliens thing, and I had a UFO sighting in the early 90s that propelled me into kind of thinking about these things, but then I lost it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and then
drug fuel.
And then I got in a drug fuel, and then I got sober, and then decided, you know, get interested in all this stuff again, and then listened to podcasts for years, and decided, Darren and I went to this conference, and we're like, we should talk to all these people on a podcast, so we did it.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to my story. I had my drug fueled years, and then was asleep for a while, and you know, bad marriage, got out of it, and then decided to wake up and maybe do something a little more substantial with my life and look into some things that I thought were important that most people didn't think were important. But that's the way it usually goes. Now, as far as the show you've been doing, like I said before, you guys were even an influence for me to get started with my show. It's, you know, you guys had some awesome guests, and I was listening to you guys for a long time before I even started doing my show. So thank you guys so much for that. You've had some amazing guests. I thought tonight we could go pretty much all over the place. I'd like to start with one of my favorite topics, the UFO phenomenon, just because of all the craziness, I guess you could say, going on with the media, the mainstream coverage right now. We've had in the past few years the Tic Tac, Oumuamua. We had recently the Israeli defense official talking about the Galactic Federation. We have this new pyramid-shaped footage, which is probably like a TR-3. From the other day, and
drones off of California.
Yeah, the 180-day information dump that's supposed to be coming out, that's probably going to be delayed, and you know, most of the good information retracted. But what do you think is happening right now with this modern disclosure? Do you think that there's some kind of pressing agenda while we're seeing all this right now, or something underlying malevolent?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I can't trust what they. All those mainstream headlines. I mean, I've wanted disclosure for years.
This is all we hope for the first 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why we did the podcast is because we knew, like, I was listening to skeptical podcasts and stuff, and they're poo-pooing the whole UFO thing. I mean, once you get into that subject, I mean, that's kind of what got me into this whole thing. And all the eyewitness accounts and all the people and all our listeners that would email in and say, oh, I've seen this and that. And there's just a so much evidence of this going on. And of course, we wanted, you know, some acknowledgement in the scientific community, not so much the government, but I wanted acknowledgement that this in the mainstream media, in the scientific community, this was a legitimate mystery. And now that we've got it from the media, I can't stand it. I mean, I don't believe what's happening. I mean, yeah, we know you guys have been covering it up for so long, but now there's, I think it's just smacks of deep state disinformation on whether they're setting us up for a alien type false flag, or whether it's just warning us of ET craft that are really some other department in the military flying around. You know, maybe they're going to blame another country. Who knows? I just don't believe what's happening right now.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't trust any of it. And, you know, especially the sources it's coming from. You had the TTSA recently. We got a rock star spokesperson for it, Tom DeLonge, which I thought was ridiculous from, you know, the onset of that whole thing. But when it comes to, like, you know, the Israeli defense guy saying that there's a galactic federation and off the wall things like that, I mean, where do you take that? You know, he's supposed to have some credibility, you know?
There probably is one, but and I'm not saying that these sightings aren't happening. I think they're happening all over the place. I just don't like the way it's becoming viral. And maybe I'm being hypocritical, or maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just changing my tune. Am I flip flopping on this, Darren?
Are you flip flopping? I don't know. I think you guys are just. I don't think there's any aliens flying around. I don't think there's any aliens flying around. I think that I don't. You know, I started on the sort of ancient aliens thing, but I think it's more ancient humans.
Okay, you've met.
But I've met aliens.
No. I'll let you finish.
I don't think there's aliens flying around. It's much more likely that it's governments.
So when we go out and meditate,
dude,
and
I was just out with Dave Matheson, and
you saw something. Okay,
I didn't see shit. I was.
They saw something. Allegedly. They saw something. Yeah. A whole group of people saw something.
Flashbang.
Yeah, no, it was more than a flashbang. It was separation and all this stuff that's just not really. It's not really part of our aerospace paradigm. Now, I'm not saying it's aliens, but when I go out
Galactic Federation.
That's different. That's not what, maybe not what you saw. But all I'm saying is when we go out and try and manifest UFOs and it happens, what is it? Is that still secret space program stuff? Is that still Black Project Military? I mean, maybe. I'm not saying it's not.
The easy answer
is some sort of other intelligence.
No, well, my worldview doesn't rule out the ability for you to manifest dots in the sky just because you want there to be dots in the sky.
Well, dude, okay, but that's just not Occam's razor. Occam's razor is
aliens.
We asked for ETs and we got them. I mean, what? How
that's
else can
your
you,
Occam's razor?
What, we're just manifesting lights in the sky that aren't, like, what are they?
They're lights in the sky.
Oh, see what we're dealing with here?
Okay, well, along the same lines, what do you think about all these, you know, hundreds of contactees and abductees that have very similar stories? You know, they're taken on a ship. They're, you know, have these hybrid experiments. When they're taken by little gray beings. They're taken through their walls, through the ceilings. You know, all these collaborating stories from these contactees, do you think it's just our government doing that and, you know, just to screw with people or some kind of strange experiment?
Yeah, I lean towards it's more of a MyLab thing than an ET.
MyLab,
sure.
And then maybe even just like, maybe it's like a weird sleep paralysis thing too, that I think, like, because there's definitely that factor that comes into it, or DMT. You know, there's just no real, because I've done DMT a couple of times, and I mean, you know, some alien looking dude said a word to me that I've never been able to remember or know what it said, or
but it was an important word. It.
So, I mean, but I think that's all within me. I don't think that's, but I don't know. Maybe I think it's the whole universe within me some fucked up way. I don't know.
Well, the whole UFO, I guess, field has become kind of ridiculous, especially in the past few years. You have the infighting between, like, consciousness-based ET researchers and the nuts and bolts researchers, you know, if you're consciousness based, you have to blindly believe a lot of this stuff, you know, just because Space Jesus told you it's true. And then, you know, the nuts and bolts guys, they don't have the scientific evidence to back up any of the stuff they're talking about. I think that both sides need to really come together, at least maybe come together and kind of discuss things and get a little bit more of a scientific approach to things. You know, every once in a while you'll see some good, you know, scientific field work, but it's probably far and few between when it comes to ufology. You know, you can have a guy who sees a UFO in his backyard and the next day he calls himself a ufologist. You know, I think this whole field needs a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, I got my MUFON, my field investigator trainee card from 1995.
Sweet.
He's also a member of SETI in good standing. Level contributor.
Awesome.
Do you think there goes my mic.
Oh, there goes Darren's mic.
Pow.
No, I kind of disagree with you though. I feel like the scientific way to go is just, I mean, people can try that if they want, but I mean, it's not the easiest thing to measure. And I just feel like there needs to be more acceptance, and we need to just explore these things without worrying about whether we're proving them or not. I mean, people are having experiences of all kinds, and I mean, you know, it's just, I feel like we just have to let it happen and just be sort of more believe, accept kind of thing and see how it goes.
Now, you were talking about this kind of CE5 meditative thing where you can go out and kind of summon a UFO. I've never done this before. I've had a few people that have done it. I've had a few people that do these CE5 protocols. And I'm wondering, you know, what exactly are you doing when you're going out there? You're just kind of getting into a meditative state and focusing on seeing these things in the sky or something coming to you? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's about intention. I mean, really having a loving intention, you know, a pure sort of loving intention on obviously a peaceful sort of communication with other entities. And you can do different sort of types of meditations. Sometimes we do like a visualize a ring of light, kind of like a pillar of light from where we are in our location, sort of shining, kind of like, hey, we're here, come down this light and visit us. Or sometimes we'll try and remote view a craft or like a situation where we're inviting people down. Those are some of the types of meditations that we've done. Sometimes I have a singing bowl or we read through something, just whatever we can get into some sort of group coherence, you know, some meditations through the week. And I haven't done it for a while either. And I question whether it's even a good thing to do that. I mean, I don't even really want to open up to other entities at all in a lot of ways. I mean, I think I've done it enough to prove to myself that there's some sort of communication going on. I don't know what it is, and it doesn't really matter so much to me. I'm a little leery about how I can't even articulate this properly. We had a big discussion at the barbecue with some friends of mine that did this, and we're trying to talk about it, but I'm a little leery about, why are they forcing us to do these ground-based, like all these groups all over the world are making contact, right? There's all different kinds of groups. There's hundreds, thousands of groups all over the world trying to make their own contact. And that's the only sort of way we're able to do this, you know? Yet there's also, I would believe there's some sort of entity contact in the government or black projects or in dark occult circles or whatever, that why are they allowed to do that? It just seems like the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we're over here making contact with these people that are from another dimension or another reality, and they won't help us in a way. Like, it just, I don't know.
That is kind of strange, because I've had my own meditative experiences, and I've talked about this on a couple of shows where I've made contact with something. I don't know if it was just a part of my own psyche. I don't know if it was like, you know, my own consciousness I'm talking to, which it really didn't seem like. It would seem like another intelligence that I was speaking with psychically. You know, I would ask a question and it would be received like almost immediately. And I'd have these, you know, beautiful feelings of love coming from whatever I was speaking with. But again, there's no way for me to tell what it was, if it was something outside of myself, if it was myself. And now we have all these celebrities now channeling extraterrestrials, talking to so-called extraterrestrials, when we don't really know what we're communicating with when we're in these meditative states, if they're you know, extraterrestrials or what some people might call deceptive entities or even demons or something like that. So how, you know, you're right. How do you know what you really are communicating with?
Yeah, I think the intention is very important. I mean, I had an experience with, I might as well tell it here because I've been wanting to tell it for a while, if you don't mind. Oh, but
of course.
Aunt Darren's mic is, is my mic okay? Is my mic okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Because sometimes we're having problems with other Zooms, but Darren might have to do something with his here. So he quits. I'll talk about my experience. So my girlfriend's had a like demonic shadow man, kind of like sleep paralysis, incubus experiences for many years, right? We talked about it. We tried a whole bunch of different things. It got better. It definitely got better. It wasn't always a problem, but we decided to do this sort of magical protection thing. I was talking to sort of a mentor in this, and I kind of put together a bit of a ceremony and a little bit of a chaos thing and meditated on it. And the one time I did this, it stopped this attack in the middle of the night in its tracks. Like it just stopped. And she was blown away. And I was blown away because I was like, oh my God, I actually did this, wrote this thing out. And I'm not going to tell you the details here and I'll explain why. And then it happened again a couple of weeks later and I did it again. And in the middle of it, the thing started laughing and it had to leave. Like it basically worked twice in a row, once without her knowing I was doing it. The other time she knew I was doing it. And so I don't know why that works, right? I mean, some sort of protection thing, you know, based on love and light or whatever. And not in a religious way, although that sometimes seems to work for people as well.
Right.
But something connected there and it worked. And you hear about all these times where people aren't supposed to share these details, right? They're supposed to keep it to themselves. And I ended up sharing it one night. So let's say a year and a half goes by. I share it to Mike at OBDM because we talked about him sort of having some similar issues and all that, right? I explained to him what I did. I sent him the actual sort of sigil and the thing I did. And that next night she had an attack. I mean, what are the chances that the time I actually share it, I put it out there to somebody, that it triggered? I think it did. I mean, the chances are so slim that it would have happened just coincidentally.
Yeah, that's insane.
And she tells me, and I didn't tell her I did that. She tells me he showed up last night kind of thing. And I'm like, holy fuck. The day after I shared that secret, basically.
Is she still having any problems with that?
No, except until once recently, actually. Once recently. It's interesting. Once recently. But I mean, to me, it worked for a while. And then we sort of set it up again and it worked again. But then just recently something else happened and it could have triggered it. But I mean, it's just fascinating. I just thought it was appropriate when we're talking about different, you know, entities and being careful of what you do or whatever, right? Or how you. So how do we know how to connect, how to make contact, how to protect ourselves, what to share, what not to share? You know, can we at least share inspiration and experience without sharing the details so that you ruin the experience? I mean.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of touchy. And it seems like, you know, the paranormal or metaphysical and UFO phenomenon, it's connected in so many ways. It's kind of hard to decipher if it's even really different. You know, when you look at the spirit realm or angels and demons and these entities can interact with humans, you know, how do you know it's not the same type of thing that these whatever is considered an angel or demons really an extraterrestrial or vice versa. It's all just the same type of entity that can be just so deceptive that they appear as whatever the hell they want to appear as and kind of influence people in different ways depending on their intentions, you know?
And does our collective unconscious or does our collective consciousness or egregore have something to do with how they show themselves or what we'll accept as being, you know, seen?
Yeah, and that whole thing kind of brings me back to, it seems like we just may be some sort of experiment for these highly intelligent entities, whether you want to call them aliens or extraterrestrials, or maybe even just advanced humans from the future that are kind of running everything. Who knows? There's all kinds of things that make me wonder if it's some sort of simulation or experiment or something like that.
Maybe it's all the gin. I don't know what's going on with this mic.
Yeah. Huh.
Maybe it's toast. Is that better?
Worse? No, it's still fuzzy a little bit. Oh,
hello, 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 hello.
Huh? You think the mic's toast because you just changed the wire? And
no, it could be another wire.
It's always wires. There's a million wires.
So earlier you were saying like
I think we're gonna have to get a new mixer soon.
Okay, yeah, that's better. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, that's all right.
Troubleshooting on the fly here.
How can be?
There you go.
It's fucking unbelievable sometimes. Like, how can the fucking...
You just talked in it for 2 hours straight and nothing happened, and then all of a sudden it starts to crack.
GoAmerica.ca/support. Need new mixer.
Yeah, we have gas over here. We have gear acquisition syndrome.
Yeah.
All right, what were you saying, Chris?
Oh, no, I was saying earlier you were saying how, you know, possibly our own government and certain factions are the ones that are putting a lot of this stuff in the sky, or responsible for a lot of the things we see in the sky. That being said, where do you think that where do you think they originally came from? Where do you think the materials that they're using for this came from? Was it actually physical crashed material? Do you think that it was somehow channeled, like speculated the Vril Society with the Nazis and stuff like that, how they reverse engineered craft? I'm wondering if it is us and it is us creating this, how did we get the knowledge of it? You know, what do you think about that?
I think it was channeled, and I think it was also, there could have been visitors back then. And I mean, I do think that some of those sort of tropes about ETs being crashed or, you know, reverse engineered, I think that's possible. I think that's been happening. I just think it's been happening for longer than we realize. I mean, I think that there's something to do with, I mean, the timing around high jump and the apparent ceasefire in that thing, and the connection with the government there could have some real reality to it. Maybe even like, you know, Hubbard and JPL and all those guys fucking summoning shit in the desert could have something to do with it. I mean, you know, back in the 1800s with the those guys flying around in the airships. I mean, I don't know. It's
well, what do you think about NASA now that you brought that up? I mean, my friends and researchers are split down the middle when it comes to outer space in general. Yeah, you know, they think it's, you know, half of it, have them think it's fake. Half of them think, no, everything is exactly like NASA tells us. You know, we got, you know, everything is a solar system. The planets work this way. The moon is this. But I don't know. There's some anomalies out there that I can't go either way and tell you for sure one way or the other what the hell's going on up there. Especially with the moon. The moon's a major anomaly. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that there's something going on out there? Do you think we have any operations on the moon, any kind of secret space program? I know we just had the Space Force, but what do you think's up with space? Is it real?
Space is fake.
Space is fake.
No, Darren's kidding. He's kind of half kidding. I know what you mean. I'm right with you. I'm right in the middle. I don't know. I think that there was people flying to the moon back in way earlier than we thought. I mean, I do think that I think there's moon bases. I think that Iron Sky is more real than you think. That movie.
I do think the moon is probably some sort of, I don't know if it was made, or, I mean, here's the thing. It really, more than anything, when you really start going down the rabbit hole with the moon, it's not a spaceship you're going to find at the end of it, in my experience. And this is when you're talking about esoteric, when you're talking about just the numbers and the math and the how it all adds up. And what it starts to really look like is intelligent design. Now, I can't spout off exactly all of the all of the crazy anomalies, like Randall Carlson has explained it to me a dozen fucking times, but it just doesn't sink in. But the different correlations between the size of the moon to the size of the earth, to the size of the sun, to the size of the earth, and the distances between them are all tied in at a fucking crazy high level. And it starts to seem like it's either A, there's some sort of blueprint that things lay themselves out to, which would be more down the electric universe avenue.
Or sacred geometry kind of thing.
A sacred geometry, which the electric universe I think would maybe follow, or it seems to be, you know, that intelligent design where, I mean, the one between the moon and the earth and the sun blows me away. But then you start looking at the moon and the sun are, you know, the moon's 400 times closer than the sun, but it's also 400 times smaller so that they can both appear to the same size in the sky to us, is kind of fucking crazy. And the math is crazy too. So it's, I mean, when I talk to Randall Carlson, and the way he explains it is that the reason he doesn't, it's not perfect. So it's very close. But when you get down to some of the distance, it's not perfect. So that's either we're not measuring it right, which I think is a giant possibility. Or, I mean, the way Randall says it, that blows my mind, is he's like, or, you know, it's like the fucking blueprints to the building. It's like, yeah, it's supposed to look like this, but they just, you know, they just missed. Which is, you know, right. Starts to seem more like, as you get older and into the 22nd, whatever fucking century we're in, you know, maybe it's just a little coding error. Someone forgot to carry something, or they put a P where they were supposed to put a D, or I don't know. But the universe starts to look kind of weird. I mean, and it's like that famous quantum physics quote that it's like when you're going to start here to get away from God, and it's going to take you away from God. But when you start drinking, that's where you'll be. And the start of the cup is atheism, but at the bottom of the cup, God's waiting. But I mean, I'm not a God guy. I'm not. But when I say intelligent design, that's not what I'm saying. But there's intelligent design there. I don't know who designed it or if that's just the way things work out. But that's how it starts to look at the quantum level. And when you start looking at the weird sort of layout specifically between the earth, the moon, and the sun. Or the moon was just put there by people a long, 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 long time ago.
I have a hard time with the anti-space thing with the like no Earth orbit or outside of Earth orbit kind of thing.
It'd be a great geoengineering thing. Get the water sloshing around, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's just too big of a conspiracy for me to grab a hold of. Maybe in a few years. Yeah, the whole flat Earth.
Is that where this ends up? Do we end up as flat earthers at the end of the
No.
Like you start a podcast and 15 years later.
I don't think so. We've tried it. We've gone there. We've tried.
Yeah, I couldn't. I've never even brought myself to do a flat Earth show yet. I can't.
Well, that was probably one of our most controversial shows where Darren got insulted. right on the show. It was pretty funny.
I got told to use my adult brain.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got triggered by a fellow who told me to use my adult brain.
Yeah.
Because when I jump in the air, the earth doesn't spin away from me. And I mean, we took it in stride. We made adultbrain.ca, which is now our audio book publishing company, where we have books all about flat earth.
That's great. Oh, well, yeah, earlier you were saying, I remember you said that, Darren, that, you know, it may not be ETs, but it may be just ancient advanced humans. And I know you've guys talked to Jared Murphy a couple of times. I've had him on a few times. I think he's a great new researcher when it comes to some of the stuff that he's researching, especially with the engineered soil and stuff like that. But when you think about it like that, you know, that it was just really ancient humans that kind of were a breakaway civilization, and they're kind of coming back around to check on us. It is an interesting thing to look at, you know, especially when you look at the possibility that these beings with elongated skulls, they may not necessarily have been from a different planet, just maybe a different type of human, because there were different types of humans. They had little humans, they had different giants. Types of hominids, giants, you know. It could, you know, not necessarily may have not come from space. And there's also a possibility that some of these breakaway civilizations may have gone underground in some spaces. I don't know. You know, it's just something to consider.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I was going to say the inner Earth too. I mean, that kind of fits in with a high jump as well, possibly Antarctica. Some of the legends. I mean, Hyperborea, Atlantis. I mean, Agartha. How many of these things do we need to hear about ancient advanced civilizations coming from the north or the inner earth or wherever? I mean, it really just, I love how.
I think they're all the same.
Yeah, maybe.
They're all like different names, because here's the thing, is it seems like it would be like the indigenous or the Indians or the tribal people or the people that were living like not how we're living. Right now, we're all like talking on the internet through ways, but there's people in Africa and there's people in, you know, not Canada so much anymore, maybe in the far north of Canada, but definitely in South America, Africa, New Guinea, parts of Australia. You've got people who are fucking not far removed from how they were living 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago or 15,000 years ago.
And
if we get smashed with a rock from fucking space tomorrow and there's no power for 6 months or 12 months or 5 years, or there's just no heat, there's no anything, those people are probably going to be best suited to be okay. You know, as long as they can maintain some food supply, maybe some of them are in a lucky enough spot that they're not completely wiped out. I mean, most of us are fucking finished fast when the supermarket runs out of food and the cities start to devour themselves. And there's just, once the supply, we're so dependent on the supply chain in the West and in the cities that just.
And light and electricity.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not just the food.
But these other tribes are just flying, you know, they see the planes fly over and they don't really know what the fuck's going on. They're not talking to us. They're not involved in our society. And you know, who knows what they call us? Because I think in most instances, they kind of know we're there, you know? Like, what are those people on that island that ate that dude that tried to be the missionary? What are they?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Do they call us Atlantis? Do they call us fucking Hyperboreans? Who knows what they call us? But if we get smashed with a rock from space, or you know what the big one would be? Would be like a giant sort of solar flare sort of anomaly that just wipes out the electrical grid completely. So there's no more oil. There's no more fucking anything. We're in the Stone Age with some iron around, but those people don't even really know anything happened. But so, I mean, when you look into Randall Carlson's work and you start to see that there's cataclysms and stuff like that, I start to think that Atlantis was kind of like we're at today, except maybe a little different, not exactly, where there's this one society that's sort of global. Maybe it's not all connected. Maybe there's a Hyperborea and there's an Atlantis and there's a this and a that, just like there's an America and a Europe and a, you know, shit went fucking south. And I think there's evidence that they kind of knew shit was going to go south. And maybe they made some pyramids and filled them up with seeds. And maybe they buried Göbekli Tepe. And maybe they did all sorts of stuff out of stone because they knew shit was going to get fucking wild. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I think that when the cataclysm that ended the Ice Age happened, that sort of ended whatever the fuck was going on, and the people that survived it didn't have the means or the, I mean, I'm sure there were some survivors that maybe went to those people and survived with them, like Graham Hancock talks about, but they wouldn't have had the means to, like, it'd be kind of like going and finding some tribe in the jungle of Brazil that's never talked to fucking people before after we get wiped the fuck out and being like, well, what happened? And he's going to be like, the plane stopped flying over top and shit stopped whitewashed up on the beach.
Right. Yeah, I talked to Randall about that a couple weeks ago, how we're most likely overdue for the next big cataclysm. It's been a while since we've had one, and according to all the cycles, we're probably overdue for an asteroid or a mega quake or something like that. That could happen any time now, and we are seeing a lot of Earth changes in the past 10 years when it comes to the core of the Earth heating up and the area of space we're heading into. You know, some people think that we're going into a grand solar minimum, that may cause a mini ice age. So I think it possibly in our lifetime we may see a major cataclysm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could happen anytime. The Carrington type thing could happen anytime. I mean, that's what I think part of Darren's point was, is it doesn't have to be a big rock from the sky. You know, a global change. It could just be the Carrington event that affects North America, let's say, or Europe.
We're so fucking naive and young in the whole experience of having this kind of stuff that we don't even know that the Earth just doesn't do some little burp thing every fucking 500 years that, you know, no one would ever notice unless they had a bunch of fucking little power grids and stuff. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that it starts to get really cool when you look at like all the different legends around the world, or how, you know, this one tribe says they got down to 40 women, and that, you know, that's kind of how, where the arranged marriages came from, because they had to fucking really watch it for a long time to make sure that there wasn't, inbreeding and stuff like that. And you've got stories out of the Bible where you have 40 days and 40 nights of rain and a great flood. And you start thinking about a meteor impacting the ice sheet and putting a bunch of water into the atmosphere and just making it rain like a motherfucker. I hope that shit don't happen during our lifetime or my kids, or, you know, but we made it through the last one.
But it kind of makes you wonder what we should be putting our global resources on, right? Instead of fighting against this global warming and taxing us for carbon. And how about making it resilient to catastrophes of whatever sort?
Right. Yeah. Climate changes. I mean, climate change has always changed. If you look at the ancient building techniques, they used to, you know, build pyramids and shit to go against earthquakes and tornadoes, and they're still standing, and we can't recreate any of that stuff today, which is pretty sad. But yeah, I would hate to see another cataclysm in our lifetime, but you never know what could happen. But when you're talking about breakaway civilizations and possibilities of, you know, ancient humanoids that still could be around, that's where I think maybe Bigfoot might come in. What do you think? Do you think Bigfoot is an ancient hominid? I have, I'm sure you get the same argument for researchers on that too. Some of them think he's an interdimensional Wookiee alien that'll disappear into the woods if you try and look for him. And some think he's just a very clever hominid that knows how to, you know, survive and hide throughout all these years. What do you think Bigfoot is?
Well, if you crossbred, you know, the Nephilim or the giants with man or whatever, what if Bigfoot was just a, you know, crossbred guy stuck in the woods all over the world, they're stuck in the woods. I mean, who knows what you can do with your mind? Or what you can do with, I mean, maybe they can just biolocate or do something. I mean, it doesn't have to be technologically advanced to be able to do what people see them doing. But I don't think it's just a flesh and bone hominid. I mean, there's just too many weird stories. Like whenever there's too many, I believe in people and their stories for the most part. Whenever you get too many stories, whether it's UFOs or Bigfoot or astral travel or psychic stuff or demonic or whatever it is, there's something there, I think. And it's not just people's imagination. It's not just people seeing shit. There's something there.
I'll shoot that motherfucker.
Yeah, I agree. People's accounts are really important.
I think so, a lot. You think I'm too far north for Bigfoot?
No, yeah, probably. There's a little south, a little further west. Yeah. But he'll run away from you. He's not going to let you shoot him.
This is it, I guess.
Yeah, you can mount him on the wall there.
The interesting thing about Bigfoot is what happens to a pig within like a couple of years of being let into the wild. It gets all hairy and grows giant tusks. And
really?
Don't take long. Really? Oh, yeah. Within like 3 years, I think. I'm just fucking saying that. I don't know offhand, but it's something like it's less than 5 years. I think it's 3 years. A full-grown pig will go from being like the pink pig you see at the farm to being a fucking wild boar looking fucking thing with giant tusks and all hairy, fuck you up in the
bush. Doesn't even take like a couple generations of evolution to get there. It's just instant. Yeah.
I'll Google it while you guys are talking.
That's interesting.
Well, I'm talking.
Well, you know, when you look at the Bigfoot as maybe a paranormal thing, I can kind of see that when you look at these places like Skinwalker Ranch are, you know, these concentrated hotspots that people are always seeing Bigfoots or aliens or UFOs or paranormal activity. The fact that they're showing up there along with all this strange activity and, you know, cryptids and stuff like that makes you kind of think, this may be a paranormal type thing. What do you think is going on in some of these areas like Skinwalker Ranch, Sedona, Mount Shasta, these places of like super energy where people are always reporting paranormal activity, UFOs, cryptid sightings? Do you think it's something underground, some kind of electromagnetic anomaly that's kind of causing all this? What do you think?
I don't know, but I mean, just thinking on the Bigfoot thing again, it could be a lot of my, I don't know. I'm on the fence with so many things, and I don't really try and get it down one road or another too close, because I don't want to be dogmatic about anything. But it could be in all of the above again. A lot of the things are all of the above. Like the Sasquatch thing could be, there could be the paranormal, like sort of high strangeness thing, and it could be like Gigantopithecus or whatever they call that that other thing in the north, in the northern states there, or in the states. Can't remember what they call them. You know, it could be all that, you know, maybe it's all of it. And I was going to say, one of the reasons why I put credence into that as well is, I don't know if you've heard that pod. I heard a podcast a few years back. I think it was Banal's podcast with the two guys that had that portal experience. They had those, what was it, shadows or something coming out of that portal. I mean, just hearing those guys that are serious about this shit talk about that experience, it was mind-blowing to me. Like, it sounded really real to me. I don't think it's ever been sort of debunked as, like, these guys were lying or bullshitting everybody or disinfo. But I think that it's just more interdimensional portals and stuff, I think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's places where you can get from one realm to the other, maybe, or I don't know what activates it, or if it's a natural thing or a, you know, magical thing or whatever. But I do think that, again, there's enough encounters and enough evidence that there's something to it.
Yeah, I think there is something to it. I'd love to visit one of those areas. I really haven't gotten out there yet, just to kind of see for myself what it feels like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, I don't know if that's a smart thing. I mean,
it may not be, you know.
I mean, you know, I talked to my friend who's quite involved in the CE5 thing, right? That's a good CAC we could do at.
Gotta be a better way to say that.
At the ranch. What's his name's ranch? Gilliland's ranch. He was like, he's complaining that Greer's people that have been, you know, I guess he wrote a nasty letter or memo to Greer about, you know, I guess he's been healing a lot of people that have had these experiences after being in Greer's place. So there's a whole, you know, rift in the UFO community and experiencer community with people making contact. And you know how Greer's about all the, you know, the positive contact, and other people have different opinions. So, I mean, his ranch is another one where there's a lot of things that happen there, but I don't know. Do we want to open ourselves up to stuff like that? Do you want to go to ranch with portals and have a Grand American meet up there?
I don't mind a ranch with portals, but he's got like a fucking hard weed ban, man. I'm not okay with that authority thing.
Oh, damn.
Have a sober contact at the cabin. No?
Who am I to say how other people should fucking maintain their consciousness?
Yeah, just, you know, we can just go and just, you know.
Just what?
Just do it sober.
All right. Well, you could run.
All right. For the next section of the show, we're going to take it to some modern events and try and be careful not to get banned here with what we talk about. But you guys know what we can and can't say here. Since 2020, are we in the damn apocalypse or what? You know, I've had a whole range of guests with a whole range of theories on what's really happening right now, whether this whole thing was planned out from the beginning, step from step, like a Hollywood writer scripting an event, or was what we're experiencing right now from 2020 with the whole pandemic thing, is it just opportunities, these elites taking advantage of these opportunities with their agendas, by pushing through these agendas, you know, just taking advantage of natural things that happened? Or was it all completely planned, or maybe just a mix of both? You know, some of it's planned and some of it's opportunistic. I don't know. What do you think is going on right now? Are we in a complete NWO-controlled Illuminati dystopia that's going to keep on going like this, or what?
Go ahead, buddy.
I don't know. I try not to pay attention, honestly, any more than I have to for the shows that we do, and we talk about it, and some guys go back and forth, and I've heard all sorts of different angles from people that I respect and, you know, whose opinions I trust. And I don't do the black pill. I just look at, I mean, if I really look at 2020, it was, I had a great year, you know. In 2021, people are saying it's worse, but, you know, from my perspective, it started out even better than 2021. 2020 was, and 2020 was better. That was the best year yet. So I don't know. I try not to get caught up in the whole fucking giant world that's out of my control, and just 100% worry about the things that are 100% in my control. And that's kind of how I wake up and face my day. You know, I sometimes wear a mask, and sometimes I wear my face shield, and it's all sort of dependent on what kind of fucking mood I'm in and how I feel like dealing with people, where I am. And I'm just sort of existing. I mean, I live in kind of a weird bubble where no one else cares, so I'm lucky in that regard. I don't have to worry about losing my job for freaking out about vaccines. So, I mean, you know, I pick and choose my battles. Like I said to Graham today, I'm not going to fight with my neighbor over a vaccine. I'll probably, the next time they ask, I'm just going to say, oh yeah, ooh, fuck, still sore. Just because it's easier. It's my neighbor. I don't need them to hate me over a medical decision that was ultimately none of their business and doesn't need to be any of their business. If they want to hear, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, if it's a stranger or on the show or people I care about or love or people I honestly, you know, want to intervene on their decisions for whatever reason, or if I'm worried about it, then I'll kind of take that case by case. But I'm sort of trying to sit by. I can't remember who told me this or where I heard it, but it's just sort of try and sit back and not take any of it personally, and sort of just look at it as, this is where the world's at. This is where the world was going to be at. So I don't know, just get in there and do what you can to make it a better place, I guess, honestly, whether that's by jumping up and down and screaming or being all black pill, or, I mean, going and doing great events like we've been doing and with amazing people. And, you know, honestly, that's the thing that seems to make the biggest difference, where, you know, you come off the mountain and no one really, you forget. You drive into Vegas and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about this fucking masks and chemtrails.
See, for me, it just seemed that's when it gets so disheartening and disappointing. You know, you see
you skipped Jack. You didn't get your bucket filled up.
No. I know, but I mean the entering the Vegas part.
Vegas just seems like it would be creepy.
It's just like going, you know, going down, like, because I haven't put a mask on in so long, and I go into the grocery store and I see so many people, and it's very disheartening to me. Maybe I'm too empathetic right now of what's happening, but just to see what's going on with people just lockstep following along what these big pharma paid shills are ordering us to do, it's just mind boggling to me. So I'm more of the black belt. I'm more of this, like, I'm trying to pay attention without attaching to it, you know, like non-attached appreciation to what's happening. And it's a sort of a, you know, a thin line to sort of balance on all the time. I appreciate Darren's point of view. And I mean, he doesn't want to piss off his neighbor because he's, you know, well, he's having barbecues and chickens and he's doing things. Like,
problem.
No, that's right.
But
you fight back pretty hard when you need to, though. I mean,
I'll fight back like this because I'm my problem.
Because you have a pretty strong opinion, but you're judging your environment and how you react. I appreciate that, where you're like, you're not going to fight a stupid fight that's not going to get you anywhere with your neighbor.
If
you're stranger, bugs, yeah, you would tell them what you think of the job.
If the cops bug me, I'll tell them what I think of the job. If the Border Patrol agent bugs me, I'll give them a fucking piece of my mind.
And call them Nazis.
But my neighbor doesn't need a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
But I think this is all planned, though. I mean, this has been in works for decades. It's planned. It's happening. We're living through this slow car crash, and I don't know where it's going to end up.
Yeah. Now, what is it like for you guys in your area? Are they really enforcing a lot of the, you know, mandates and masks and stuff still in around where you guys are?
The masks seem to still be a thing. People, some places get upset about the masks. I mean, like, a lot of places have really backed off, though, I've noticed. Like, especially in a professional environment, like, it's just where it was super hardcore. You know, for a while it was super hardcore, and some sites still are, but then other ones are, you could just see it slowly, just like really people are just like, it's the people who are carrying it out. Cause I mean, it's just like, I just traveled internationally and I didn't stay in a hotel and I kind of bypassed all that. And I wasn't even super polite about any of it. And I kind of gamed it. And then I went to the dentist, and I have to say on the forum that, I've been out of the country in the last 14 days. And I mean, the place almost implodes. No one knows what to fucking do. There's nobody call. There's not a number.
No way. Did you put that,
like,
on the forum?
Oh, yeah. I was like, well, I'm not comfortable lying on this forum. I was just in like four different states. And she's like, oh, dear. And she's like, well, shouldn't you be quarantined? And I was like, nah, they said I didn't need to do that. And she's like, okay. So then she's like, so go talk to like a couple of her coworkers. Maybe her little manager. No. So eventually it goes to, they just go talk to the dentist, and the dentist says it's fine. So it's fine. And then, I mean, the same thing happens for my massage a few days later, where it's like, well, I was just out of the country. And they're like, well, we'll just ask the masseuse. And the masseuse is like, oh, no problem. I mean, basically it boils down to, do they want the money or not? Do they want the business? And it's just like, so all these weird rules are, because I don't mind lying to the government, because I think they're being fucking assholes and they're lying to everybody else, and people I love and care about are going to get fucked up because of it. But I don't want to lie to my job, or I don't want to lie to my dentist, or I don't want to, and I don't want to, especially I was at the dentist with my kid. So I don't want to, like, my kid fucking knows I was in the States. So she's going to watch me just lie on a form now. And, you know, it's just, I don't want to live my life that way. I'll just tell the truth and deal with the consequences.
But they are locking this down a little bit more now. They're basing it on vaccine percentages, which is insanity to me. But they're trying. I mean, I don't know how far it's going to get, how many people are going to push back, when it's going to reach a tipping point where they stop, where the cops will not do what the government tells them to. Because right now, there's some of the provinces are starting to try and control traffic between provinces, and so it's getting worse, believe it or not, at this point, you know, and you know, it makes you wonder. They've been masking and social distancing and trying all these things, and now they're jabbing everybody and it's getting worse. So maybe they should get the hint that it's not fucking working, but they don't even care.
Right. Yeah, they don't. It seems like they don't even care how much people wake up or realize what kind of shenanigans are going on. They're still going at it full blast. And this is a really frustrating thing for me, is with all the censorship and cancel culture and everything else, you can't get a sense of where most people stand with this. It's hard to tell where the majority of people are leaning towards. I mean, in the beginning, you could kind of see, you know, people are waking up, fighting against this. Now we're just seeing one side, because you have to search deep for any kind of, you know, real alternative news now. You know, you got to go to all these alternative sources, Rockfin, BitChute. You're not going to find anything good on YouTube, mostly. So it's really hard to gauge where the majority of people are standing with this. Do you think most people are kind of saying this is bullshit, or the majority still kind of fucking sleeping still?
I think almost everyone's come around to this is bullshit.
No,
I think that's why. I think that's why the media is going fucking berserk and they're threatening vaccine passports. I mean, if they had 75 or 80% of us fucking gung ho, they wouldn't have to be threatening your right to travel. They wouldn't have to be, you know, putting ads in every fucking magazine. I wouldn't be driving by 50 billboards a day around Calgary that tell vaccine this, vaccine that. If you're 40, get this. If you're any vaccine's fine. I mean, there's fucking 50 billboards around Calgary right now telling me to get a vaccine. And
yeah, you can look at that both ways.
Fucking really. Everywhere. And I really think it's just because they're just, I think, and the other thing is like, I'm around all over all day. And the general consensus from all, and it's not everyone, but it's probably 80%, somewhere between 70 and 80% are like, this is fucking outrageous. Most of them will wear the masks.
They don't know what to do.
To the person, you know, most of them will wear the mask in every situation. They're not traveling. You know, they're having barbecues, but they're not really telling too many people. And, but they don't know what to do. But it's like almost, to a person that I go around, and I live in a bubble and I'm very vocal and I don't shut the fuck up. So, I mean, people will probably shy away from sharing opposite opinions with me, but, and there's also, and I'm not an asshole. It's just, I'm not shy, but also there's this, a bunch of people that I've watched slowly gravitate. So it's like, they were kind of like
the gravitate chicken, which way
that chicken's got a crush on you.
Gravitate which way?
Away from, like, I mean, even like,
there's a bunch of gravitating the other way too, though.
Even older people that were all in that were like, you know, they're still going to get the shot. Don't get me wrong. They're still going to go get their shot, but they don't fucking think they have any fucking hope of dying from COVID. And they think it's a giant government overreach and there's, you know, they're still going to get their shot. But I think,
but they want to go to Paris in the summer.
Well, yeah, that's just it. And honestly, I don't think their trip to Paris is ever in jeopardy. I really don't. I really think if you just fucking hold up, be patient and relax, it's they're going to miss the mark. Yeah. I think this, like, and I was just down in the States where it's like full on. I was actually talking to a cop in Utah who's been a cop there for a long time and is pretty high up. And he's like, from day one, our instructions were, we're not getting involved in implementing this stuff. We're not getting involved in enforcing it. And I think, you know, there's probably some spots where, you know, clearly Ontario is a little bit fucked up. But the hope is that eventually, I mean, at this point, you almost hope they'll just keep pushing. Because like I say, I do think that we're the... A big majority, and I think the harder they push, the more likely it will
reach that tipping point.
Yeah, and I don't mean about just vaccines, because I think that even like it's more about the lockdowns and the health freedoms. But I mean ultimately when it comes down to like the crazy mandates and stuff like that, it's just everyone's had enough of that. That's like, I think they did that for too long to maintain. I think, you know, you got riots in places where there's not usually riots, and like there's riots in Canada for fuck's sake. And there's just the level of social unrest seems to be growing. And then I seen like Australia kind of opened up with, now they're flying to New Zealand and there's no testing and there's no vaccine requirements. And it's just sort of, you have to wear a mask. I mean, honestly, I don't know if the mask will ever go away on airplanes, which sucks. I mean, here's one thing, a little guilty pleasure I have is that I don't mind that the people that make my food are wearing masks and gloves. I mean, it almost seems like an extension to the hairnet, especially at like Popeyes and stuff. You know, I don't know. I feel a little better when they hand me my fucking sandwich with the glove on and the mask. So, I mean, I guess this is a time and a place for a mask.
Oh, my God.
Well, when it comes to...
I think in a restaurant where you got people who are trained cooks, I think that's different. I would never tell a chef to wear a mask because he's trained to work with food. But let's be honest.
The people working at fucking Popeyes don't have a fucking clue what they're doing. And they're just dumping shit in the fryer. And, you know, we could throw a mask on them. It wouldn't, you know, it's been a few minutes.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt to have a little extra protection.
That's my own fear of germs or something, but I just, you know, I just notice when I do a fast food thing and Buddy's got a mask on, well, he's, because especially like Harvey's, you can see him making your burger, right? So then it's like, okay, well, now I don't feel bad. You know, I can see him even like wiping, but his mask is there. So I don't feel so bad. And it's like, what was that 2 years ago? That was just fucking snot in my burger.
Yeah, well, right now I live in Colorado, and it's more strict than the state I used to live in. I used to live in Louisiana, and in the South in the United States, people are, you know, they're not going for this stuff. In Louisiana, nobody wore a mask hardly ever. You could go to a store and see just people without masks everywhere. But I recently moved out here to Colorado. It's a little more strict. But like you said, it looks like things are starting to open up a little here and there. We're having like concerts here in the summer. We're having bars open up here soon. Actually, we went out to a bar the other night, which was kind of nice. No one was actually wearing a mask there, and it felt nice to get out and kind of mingle. But I have a feeling it's not going to last. I personally think it's going to be one of those things where they give us a little freedom, let out the rope a little bit, and give us a little bit of happiness and good times this summer. But then maybe October, September, we're going to have new variants and this brand new wave of whatever, COVID or SPARS or whatever they're going to do. I just don't see it lasting. I think that they're going to have another pushback. They want to give us a little bit of leeway and then kind of reel us back in again and keep that fear and despair going. That's just my personal opinion. But I'm hoping that things continue to open up. We're supposed to be more open up during the summer, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see there.
You're supposed to be open up all the time.
Yeah, you're right. We are supposed to be open up all the time. Now we got, I got a few minutes left. I want to ask you, when you look at everything, when it comes to the people in control of everything, whatever you want to call them, the elites, Illuminati, bankers, the big oil people, whoever's at the top, the more you look into it, you can't avoid eventually coming to the occult and occult rituals and, you know, human sacrifice and all this stuff that seems to be occurring at elite levels. What I want to know is, do you think that at the very top, these people that are giving orders, the top of the pyramid, that they really believe in any of this occult stuff, that it's not just these lower level, you know, secret societies that may not be pulling the strings but taking orders, and they're the ones that are really into the occult stuff, and the ones at the top don't even really believe in any of this? Because I've heard different theories from different researchers, different people. I'd like to get your take on it before we close.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think that I don't think the ones at the very top. I think that they're just about money and control and power. I don't even know if they're into this occult rituals. It's very possible. But I think it's the lower level kind of secret societies and celebrities and people that don't really have any power, but they're given these orders and they're told that they have to be a part of these occult rituals and secret societies and stuff like that to get anywhere, to have any power. And it could be all just like a confusing ruse to get, you know, people to think that there's Satanists running the world when it's really not Satanists. I don't know. It could go either way, but that's just the way that I'm starting to see things. I could see it differently next week the more I look into something, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you on on changing your sort of view and opinion on it for sure. That's what happens to me. It's just an evolving thing. But at this point right now, I almost think the opposite. I think the highest level are probably pretty dark forces. There could even be some spiritual influence there, like Archon or Egregore or something. That's,
yeah, I've gone back and forth on that one.
I don't know about possession or just influencing or whatever. And then I think that this whole, it seems to me like there's people that are implementing that and the implementers are telling these middle managers of this global agenda, which is the our influencers and Hollywood types and musicians and artists and politicians and elite corporate executives and Silicon Valley and all that. And I think they're just a bunch of trolls a lot of times. I mean, I think that part of this implementation is to troll us. And I think there's a belief in it, but it's almost like the more they make these movies about stuff that are fiction, they come out as fiction, people don't believe that they're real. It's almost like they just hide it all in a fictitious conspiracy. And I think that that doesn't mean it's not real. I think it means that they're hiding it in plain sight. That's kind of where I'm at right now, but it's constantly evolving, especially this kind of thing. Cause I see all this blatant symbolism and blatant, even numerological stuff, astrological symbolism. And you're like, how can any human put all this stuff together? It has to be divine influence. I mean, it has to be some sort of greater,
how can it not greater be a thing. Game?
And then, exactly. How can it not be a video game? But, you know, and then you wonder like, are they just trolling, you know, but trolling because it's powerful. I mean, it divides us. It gives us a skewed view of who's in control, or maybe not. Maybe it, I don't know.
We figure out a way to divide ourselves anyway. I mean, let's be honest. We've been doing a pretty good job of it since the fucking dawn of time. But I don't know. They're probably controlling this shit. I mean, it sucks, right? Motherfuckers. Here's what I think is we were kind of talking about it earlier. Is just like, I just don't have time to worry about it right now. I got shit I want to do, and I'm just going to worry about trudging forward and doing that. And hopefully I'm not in a concentration camp in 10 years or in 2 years or in 3 months. Touch wood, that don't happen. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep doing what I got to get done. And hopefully it'll all work out in the end. I think my outlook on life allows for that. That's kind of the point, is to just do the best that you can. And, you know, if it don't work out, at least you gave it a shot. And
I think it's tough to know what to put into preparation.
Here's the thing.
For
I trust my gods
how much
more than them at the end of the day, I trust my gods more than them or theirs. So we'll see what happens.
I think that's a great way to look at it. If more people worried about their own lives and their own shit and taking care of themselves instead of all the other bullshit in the world, we might get a little further than we're getting right now. But I have to agree with that. Guys, thank y'all so much. That was an awesome podcast, and I'd love to talk to y'all again in the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was great. Yeah, it was nice to chat with you.
Yeah, definitely.
If my gods don't end up existing, then at least I'll be naive until the end.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that was super fun, guys. Like I said, I'd hope to speak with you guys again in the future.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, and until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.